It's straight up at 9 o'clock on the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted that you are here. And if you've been with us the last several weeks, during the 7 and 8 o'clock hours, we take a much more focused examination of all the critical issues regarding the important stuff, the COVID-19 outbreak. And then at 9 o'clock, you and I escape. That's what we're about to do together right now for an hour. Let It Bleed is the it's the 10th American studio album by the Rolling Stones. It was released in December of 1969, released shortly after the band's 1969 American tour. It's the follow-up to 1968's Beggar's Banquet. The album was recorded during a period of turmoil in the band. Brian Jones, who was the band's original founder and really original leader, had become increasingly unreliable in the studio due to heavy drug use. And during most recording sessions, he was either absent or so incapacitated that he was unable to contribute meaningfully. He was fired in the midst of recording sessions for this album and replaced by Mick Taylor. Now, Brian Jones appeared on this album on only 2 songs, playing backing instruments, and unfortunately, he died a month after being fired. Mick Taylor had been hired after principal recordings were already completed and on many of the tracks. Likewise, he only appears on 2 songs, having recorded just some guitar overdubs. With that said, Keith Richards was the band's sole guitarist during most of the recording sessions, being responsible for nearly all of the rhythm and all of the lead parts. The other Stones members appear on nearly every track, and significant additional contributions were made by percussionist Jimmy Miller, who also, by the way, produced the album, and keyboardist Nicky Hopkins, as well as Ian Stewart, and a number of other guest musicians, including Rye Cooter. We'll get into all the other guest musicians in just a minute. The very first song on side one is Gimme Shelter. It was, of course, written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. Richards began working on the song's signature opening riff in London while Jagger was away filming Performance. That's a movie with, at that time, he was in that movie with Richards' longtime girlfriend, Anita Pallenberg. Now, in his autobiography, Life, Keith Richards reveals that the tension of the song was inspired by his jealousy at seeing the relationship between Pallenberg and Jagger and his suspicions that an affair was going on between them. Mick Jagger says the song, well, it was a very rough and violent era, the Vietnam War, violence on the screens, pillage and burning, and Vietnam was not the war we knew in a conventional sense. It was so different from any previous war the United States had gone through. So he termed it as kind of an end-of-the-world song, really apocalyptic, and the entire album, really, he said, is like that. However, the song's inspiration was not initially Vietnam or social unrest, but Keith Richards seeing people scurrying for shelter from a sudden rainstorm. That's according to him. Now, the recording features guest vocals by Mary Clayton, recorded at a last-minute late-night recording session during the mixing phase. That was arranged by her friend and record producer Jack Nitzsche. After the first verse is sung by Jagger, Mary Clayton enters and they share the next 3 verses. A harmonica solo by Jagger and guitar solo by Richards follow. Then with great energy, Clayton repeatedly sings Rape, Murder, It's Just a Shot Away, It's Just a Shot Away, almost screaming the final stanza. Now, she'd been summoned from bed around midnight by Nitzsche. She was pregnant at the time, made her recording with just a few takes, and then returned home to bed. It remains the most prominent contribution to a Rolling Stones track by a female artist. You'll hear at about 2:59 of the song, Clayton's voice cracks under the strain once during the second refrain on the word shot, and then on the word murder during the third refrain, after which you can barely hear Mick Jagger in a separate production room screaming, "Woo!" If you listen for it, you can hear it. What a powerful delivery. If you ever have a chance to see the documentary 20 Feet from Stardom, that story is in 20 Feet from Stardom. Now, as far as the guitar that Keith Richards used, he used an Australian-made Matten SE77. It's a large single cutaway hollow body guitar, which he had previously used on Midnight Rambler. The guitar barely survived the recording before literally falling apart. On the very last note of Gimme Shelter, Richards had told Guitar World the entire neck fell off. You can hear it on the original take. Let's hear now side one of Let It Bleed.
Well, I followed her. station with a suitcase in my hand. Yeah, I fly out to the station with a suitcase in my hand.
The summer sun.
It's the Mornings with Ed show. In its entirety, the Rolling Stones album Let It Bleed, that was side one, and recording for Let It Bleed began in earnest of February of 1969 and continued sporadically until early November. After Gimme Shelter, you heard Love in Vain. Again, a beautiful Keith Richards written song. Mick Jagger, of course, helped with some of the lyrics. Country Honk is the country version of Honky Tonk Woman. Live With Me, which we'll talk about in a second, was the first time we got to hear Bobby Keys, the amazing saxophonist that ended up changing so many fantastic Rolling Stones songs. And Leon Russell was also in Live With Me. And then we just killed it there with Let It Bleed, the last song on side one. So through their experimentation during the mid-60s, the band had developed an eclectic approach to arrangements. Slide guitar started playing a prominent role, usually played by Keith Richards, except in Country Honk. It was performed by Mick Taylor, giving the album an authentic blues feel throughout. Of more importance, however, as I'd mentioned earlier, was the debut of both renowned saxophonist Bobby Keys on Live With Me. He's integral in giving the Stones their sound from that point on. So what we're doing is we're going side by side, the album in its entirety. It's our personal stash. It's The Escape. It's The Rolling Stones. It's Let It Bleed. Here now is side two.
you heard about the Boston? It's not one of those. We're talking about the midnight. The one who closed the bedroom door. Oh, just that shooting dead, brain bell jangling. You know, the world you never seen before. So if you ever meet the midnight rambler,
kitchen door. You
the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, well, you might find.
That was side two of the Rolling Stones' Let It Bleed album, and that's how you listen to an album in its entirety. First side one, then you flip that baby over and listen to side two. Side two kicked off with Midnight Rambler, a song that Mick Jagger has said makes him feel closest to Keith Richards when they do it on stage, because together it feels like they're dancing the tango. They are inseparable. Second song there was You Got the Silver. Keith Richards sang his first solo lead on You Got the Silver, and sounded pretty good then. Sounded as good as he's ever sounded in a lead. Monkey Man, the third song. Mick Jagger and Keith Richards wrote Monkey Man as a tribute to Italian pop artist Mario Schifano, whom they met on the set of his movie Umano Non Umano. It was recorded in April of 69. The song's introduction features distinctive vibraphone, bass, and guitar, as well as piano. It came between the band's firing of Brian Jones and the hiring of Mick Taylor on lead guitar. Keith Richards plays the main riff and slide guitar solo. Mick, of course, provides the vocals. Producer Jimmy Miller plays the tambourine, Nicky Hopkins on the piano, and Charlie Watts, of course, on the drums, while Bill Wyman plays the vibraphone and the bass. Wyman's vibraphone is mixed onto the left channel together with Hopkins' piano. And You Can't Always Get What You Want closes off the album. It was the first song recorded for the album. It exists in two versions. There's a 4-minute 51 single mix and a 7-minute and 28-second album mix that you just heard there. The difference is on the single, you don't get the choir. It features the London Bach Choir opening the song, and as I said, you only get that on the album version. Throughout the recording, the album, throughout the recording of that song, the choir was required to stay away from the Stones because of the drug use going on in the studio. Al Cooper plays the piano and organ, as well as the French horn intro, while Rocky DeJean played the congas, maracas, and tambourine. The three verses and the varied theme of the fourth verse address major topics of the 60s, love, politics, and drugs. Each verse captures the essence of the initial optimism and eventual disillusion, followed by the resigned pragmatism of the chorus. Much has been made of the lyrics reflecting the end of the overlong party that was the 1960s, as a snapshot of swinging London having burned out. That's a valid interpretation, but it should also be pointed out there's also an uplifting and reassuring quality to the melody and performance. And this is particularly true of the key lyrical hook, when we're reminded we can't always get what we want, but we'll get what we need. Ain't that the truth? Now, we have a lot of artists in town, and I know you're interested in the album cover. The album cover displays a surreal sculpture. It was designed by Robert Brownjohn. The image consists of the Let It Bleed record being played by a tone arm of an antique phonograph and a record changer spindle supporting several items stacked on a plate in place of a stack of records. A film canister labeled Stones, Let It Bleed, a clock dial, a pizza, a motorcycle tire, and a cake with elaborate icing topped by figurines represents the album cover. Once again, it's The Mornings with Ed, Personal Stash, and Escape, the album Let It Bleed by the Rolling Stones. Glad you were here for it.